I hope you will, by the way. Great, great. Hello, welcome to the Small Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 67. 67. And I am joined today by one of my favorite people in the hobby, Mr. Chucklebutty. That's what they call him.
That's very kind.
You've got some very aggressive vibes going on today. Look at that. Look at that haircut. I miss the hair. Where's the quiff? Where's the quaff?
I got rid of it. I got rid of it because quarantine. And I've always wondered what it would look like. And I just kind of got to a point where I was like, right, well, I need to now do a bit of haircutting. And I thought either I'm going to try and either do it myself or get my other half to do it and do the fade around it. And I was just like, nah, forget it. And it worked. And it's okay. What do you think? What does everybody think?
No, I think you look really good.
Does it suit me?
You look really good. Yeah, you look really nice. Honestly, like I mean, your shot is amazing. You got that YouTuber chair. You've got like the color, the paints in the background. I've just got like back around of me. You can see like this chair. There's a couple of crappy boxes. Not quite the same level of like class and skill. But yeah, you look great. Freaking hot, says Winner Dave. So I'm glad you're here. I can't wait to be talking to you. Big shout out to everyone who's joined us live. Warmaster, the Propagation, Winner Dave, Serbator, and to that one particularly salty American we had on YouTube this morning. Yeah. Hello to you, you mardy little bitch. I think that's always a good way to start.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start the show. Hey, everybody, that guy's a dick.
Only that one particular guy.
Just one.
So, big love to everyone. If you are listening to the podcast, stay hydrated, as I can see Adam is doing, demonstrating. And also, a big love to everyone that's watching on Patreon. So there you go. Vitamin 95, Adam the Noob. That's an accurate name. Wow.
Is that Reese? I'm guessing that's Vitamin D95. I'm guessing that's Reese. Love you, Reese.
Why is he Vitamin D95?
He's ginger. So there's something to do with about being ginger and vitamin D or something, isn't it?
I don't know what he did, but good. Hello, Winner Dave. There you go. And MJ Pegasus Angle, thanks for being here. So, Adam, have you been in the lockdown? Where are you based? What's it like?
So I'm based near Stratford, which Rob will tell you exactly where that is. He knows.
Right next
knows
to where
really,
Geoffrey
really
Chaucer
well
died.
So Stratford-upon-Avon, bang in the middle of the country. Couldn't really get much more landlocked. We're doing all right because we live in the middle of nowhere. And I can't say we have many complaints.
I can confirm that. I have been there. I saw three horses and maybe one particularly small horse, or it was a donkey. I couldn't tell the difference.
Could have been both.
Could have been
There's
both.
Lots of inbreeding.
just before we go on any more, we've just had a little comment from a man in the chat, James. He says, man, remember when he had hair and was attractive? That's...
Mate, that's harsh about you, isn't it? But... I'm sure Definitely. You're planning on growing it back.
Yeah, that's So it's quite wide and open, like where you are. Because so does that mean that social distancing was already a huge part of your life anyway?
Yeah. We were social distancing way before it was cool. So it's just like you can sit and complain, you can sit and be like, oh god, this is so rubbish, but. People who, you guys who live in towns and cities and people are actually suffering with the disease, they're suffering. Whereas we're just like, oh no, we can't go to the shops every day like we need when we want to. So what?
Yes.
To get over it, you know what I mean?
I can absolutely attest to that. Oh, Discord's done a thing. I'm just going to hold on. You've got a very, oh no, we're back. We got you. Don't worry. I've been to where you are, so I can see that. I feel sorry for... Hey, Scruddy Hugh! Oh, it's Hugh. What a guy. I haven't heard anything from Hugh recently. I hope he's okay. Thanks for subscribing, by the way. I don't wonder if. I feel sorry for all the guys who are in those big cities. New York City, London, you know. And we know quite a few of those people as well. Like, there's Joe Pagano. There's Benjamin Owen. All those guys who we know down in London who are in, like... some are in really nice places, some are in like, you know, places that are fine when you can go outside whenever you want, but if you're with the same people 8 hours a day, well, 12, 24 hours a day, that is a nightmare. So big love to those.
So how's it been for you? How's it been for you? I don't think I've heard a huge amount about how you've been dealing with it all. Come on, tell everybody. Lean
is that
on.
Is that serious?
A little cry if you want to.
Is that a joke?
No, it's not. It's not a joke.
The internet broke.
Oh, the internet broke.
Oh, I can hear you, but I don't think it's even live. It just says zero. It's just got like a red box and it says zero. Not even like 4 or 200. Like, to let you know, it should be 1800, but zero. Oh, we're back!
We're back,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's nothing to do with my internet. That is nothing to do with my internet, everybody. I just want to point that out.
We're back. We are back. So the question is, how am I coping? Well, yes. It's been a big adjustment for me over the past 67 days. Obviously, I'm no longer DJing. But I now have one of the guys that works in the bar. He came in yesterday, which is quite exciting. We socially distanced, obviously. But he had a little chat with me, and he was just like, "How's your body clock?" And I was like, "I woke up at 7 o'clock this morning. I wasn't even upset. I was like, this feels great." Yeah. Whereas if you'd have woken me up at 7 o'clock any time in the past 14 years of my life, I'd have been like, "You need to fuck off right now." Like, this is that's a huge change, which is good. So I now sleep at night and live in the day, which I'm not sure if I love, but that's the life. I conversed with someone at 8:30 this morning. Why? Why would anyone do
You've
that?
You've changed.
Yeah, I know.
You've changed.
But other than that, obviously, no DJing anymore. So obviously, that's a huge financial hit. No event coverage, which is also kind of a financial hit, because I think a lot of people subscribe or support the show because of that. But actually, when I announced that all that went wrong, loads of people were really supportive and jumped on Patreon or subscribed to the Twitch show. So that's been a huge kind of help. that's kind of the big one. And then apart from that, obviously work projects. We had some huge events coming up. Like, we were going to go and do the 40K coverage for the World Team Championships this summer. So that was going to be the World Cup of 40K. We were doing the coverage. We were hype. Me and Nikos were buying laptops off eBay. We were going with 8 computers. We were it was going to be wild. And then we were asking people, people from America, do you want to come and do commentary with us? They're like, yeah, we'll get into commentary. And now it's
because I missed your call up for me to come and join you on that. It must have just been missing the post.
We wanted people who had intimate 40K knowledge and not people who really love Stormcast. So we missed you on that phone call. But the next
I'm painting Warhammer 40K. Look.
Oh, what are you painting?
White scars. Sorry, I derailed you. You carry on.
No, that's it. I don't think I really... But obviously, we pivoted a little bit. So we now are doing some live streaming of Tabletop Simulator tournaments. Did one last week. Doing one next week, which I'm really excited about. So that's fun. And we still have some other stuff in the pipeline, which we were going to launch at the beginning of the year. So we pushed that a little bit later. Mainly, I'll tell you about that in the future. So apart from that, good. And I've been working on that. So I've been very busy and enjoying myself. I also cleaned the office, which... was no small feat, and so thanks for asking. I've been fine.
Good.
That's it. But what about you? Why are you painting white scars? How is the hobby? Because already dealing with the hobby. So obviously you're in the Scribes of War. Yeah, is that correct?
Yes,
that's your war gaming.
Yeah, that's right.
But you already had to drive quite. You already had to drive quite a way just to go play with the Scribes, right?
No.
How far?
20
is
minutes
it?
Away. You came to a club night. It's 20 minutes to get there. You have to drive. So, like I said earlier, if you remember at the top of the show, I live in the middle of nowhere. So we have to drive anywhere. So if it's 20 minutes drive, that's really close. If it's an hour's drive, yeah, it's fine. But Nottingham, I think, is an hour and a half or whatever. But it's, it's 20 minutes is nothing. That's nothing at all. And it's all rural roads, nice sweeping. Anyway. So I'm just watching the chat whilst trying to be professional and help.
How you doing?
I can't. Rubbish. it's so difficult. Anybody I can sit at home and when I Yeah, well, reading and also just trying to keep a conversation going while taking in what's going on the chat. Oh, mate, this is...
Big shout, our man Henry Steele from the Court of Pain. Yes, Canterbury is where I went to. I tried to get to it via London, which is it's the easy mistake to make. It was easy. Easier than you think.
Is it Court of Pain? I had a brush skills masterclass thing booked with them at the end of June. We've had to delay it.
Well, they're doing one-on-one tuition now online.
Okay.
Well, because that's the question I was going to ask you, actually, because to me, it feels like you're in bumfuck nowhere, Nova Scotia. Big shout out to all the guys watching who are actually in. Tristan, big shout out to you. Pete Colosimo, who is genuinely in a town of 2,000 people in, like, the arse end of, like, the middle of fucking, Canada. But for me, it feels like you're in the countryside, but really you're only like 10 minutes away from civilization. But would you say that you've always dealt with the hobby fairly remotely? Like you've watched stuff online and like, you know, like has the lockdown really changed how you've been living when it relates to the hobby or not really at all?
So obviously club nights, I always try to get to those as often as I could. And they're on a Sunday night, like twice a month. So I'd always try to get to those when I could. So those I'm missing out on. And I'd also quite often meet up. So Nottingham is bang in between where me and my brother live. So he lives up in Leeds. I live down here. We both drive about an hour and a half. We meet in the middle. And it just happens to be where the home of Warhammer is. And we quite often meet up there on like a Friday night or a weekend. That I'm missing out on. And the tournaments, coming with you guys and going and playing in tournaments and that sort of thing. Really missing that. Just missing the people, I think. I think you can get enough hobby from remotely, but it's the people is harder to get, I think.
Yeah, I think I'd like to mirror that sentiment. I'd just like to say thank you to Silver Knight for just donating $20. All right. I want you to know that I'll be using on some new socks. I just want you to know what that money will be used for. Don't look at me weirdly.
Are you short on them? Are you low on them then? Or?
Yeah, they've got... I don't know. I just feel... I like, you know, like every 2 to 3 years you think, I need to change socks. Do you ever go through that process?
Yeah, I do sometimes. Yeah, yeah. Do you have a proper clear out? It's quite cathartic sometimes. You're like, right, I've only got 8 pairs, but they're 8 solid pairs. And I can use them every day. Is that what you mean?
That's what I'm trying to say. Mine are getting a bit tatty. I think they're like a couple of years old. I say a couple of years. That's definitely not as old as Nathan Prescott's pants. But yeah, which honestly, oh. I think they were made. They're his first pants he got when he was 18, and he's still got them. Why I know what Nathan Prescott's pants look like. More on that later. But I would agree with you that it's the people I'm missing, especially as so most of the time that we've spent together, although obviously we've done more than this, was when we would work at events, when we would work at Bobo or Crim Bobo, and we would do the live coverage or Sheffield Slaughter or something like that. It was so alive, right? There was so much happening, especially in the role that you would go in, where you would go into the audience. There was so much like excitement, and I think that that level of interaction is missing. I feel, and I think it's a reason that
whether you're like into the audience,
the players of the audience,
it's like they're all just gathered around one table, and there's only one game on at a time, and that would be great fun though. Actually, I have to say that would be fun.
I still think the way to play Warhammer is to not play Warhammer, yeah, because it's stressful, and then have all the other guys, like, and I mean like a couple of guys playing Warhammer, and then the 80, 90, 100 of us just getting pretty pissed, yeah, as we watch them play Warhammer. I still think is the best way of playing Warhammer. I don't know what you think, but I'm still committed to that.
I actually prefer tournaments when I go with Honest Wargamer and do the Roving Reporter stuff. I prefer that to playing in them. Because, like exactly like you say, you get all of the fun of it, but you don't get the stressfulness of, oh, is my list going to work? How am I going to play against this guy? And that brings its own fun too. But yeah, like when I come with you, I think I've got the easiest and best job out of the entire setup, because I just wander around chatting crap to people, and then I just turn up on camera every 20 minutes. But sitting, reading chat, reading a game, 3 games at a time. Nah, mate. Nah. No,
it's actually quite
fun. I don't
know
how you do that.
That's actually quite fun. I like it.
I'm not saying it isn't fun, but hard, right?
I was really looking forward to World Team Championships where it was going to be 8 tables at once. Yeah. Like, me and the guys were talking, like, how are we going to do it? And I was like, we just try. Would that have worked? No. Anyway, so dealing with the hobby remotely, so the biggest problem you're feeling is missing people, yeah?
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Definitely.
That's a shame. The real question is have you got Gemma to play? Yeah. Have you got her to play Warhammer with you? Yes?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, well, only Warhammer Underworld. So I've got Night Vault, Beastgrave, and Shadowspire, Shadespire. And to the point, like, we played a few games one night, and we played it in the past before. She then said a few days later, do you fancy playing Warhammer tonight?
What?
It was,
that's
like,
exciting.
I know. And she's even said that we should play again like soon, as in the next few days. I thought,
that's really exciting. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that that's a good thing?
It's good. I mean, I tried learning a bit of Warcry. I don't know if you've given that a go yet. But I tried learning a bit of that. And whilst I was learning it, she was just like, no, that's too complicated for me. That's now too far. I'm like, okay, right. We know the limits. We kind of know how far that's gone. And that's it. So Warhammer Underworld, I'm okay with that. That's enough. That's a bit of a hobby fix. That's something to paint up little warbands for. And she's even keen to try painting one herself.
Oh, really? Oh, so she, mm-hmm. And which one is she interested in? That's the real question.
Well, she'd be silly. Like, she wouldn't be in this household if she didn't want to paint Stormcast. So it's a Stormcast that she wants to paint.
Oh, my
Evocator.
God. Oh, my God.
But she does like the...
How do you go from painting Stormcast to Marines? Are you not just like, oh, my God. Like,
I just like the simple. Paint by colours. It's just like, this panel is blue. No, this one's red. That's it. That's all, like, it's all my brain capacity can handle. Suggesting a game of Warhammer. That's probably even more exciting than them indicating you're getting laid tonight. You're not wrong. You're not wrong, Angle. You're not wrong.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. If my missus turned around and was like, do you want to play Warhammer tonight? I'd be like, holy shit. This is great. Getting laid is fairly easy. Like, in the grand scheme of things. Getting someone to play Warhammer
with
you.
It's easy for some, I'm sure.
I actually reckon there's a couple of my guy mates that it would be harder to get to play Warhammer with me than sleep with me. Like, if I'm being, like, 100% certain. Like, I'm like, yeah, I reckon.
Do you want to name them?
You.
I mean, I'll, yeah. Screw it. Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. Let's do it.
Okay, so what hobby have you been doing while you've been locked down? Have you been working still? Like, what's been going on with you? Like, have you worked, or have you just been painting away, or you got into Total War like everyone else?
I've tried Total War. It's a lot going on in that, and every time I play it, I just seem to want to go and take my tiny army that you have at the start. I'm like, kill them! And you can't do that. You can't. And every time I then play it, I'm like, right, I'm going to take my time, I'm going to build up an army, and then I go, now go kill them, and it still doesn't work. So I'm just not very good at that game. But yeah, I've been furloughed since April 1st, so that's what, like, nearly 2 months, like a month and a half at least now. I thought initially I'd just get so much hobby done and that would be it, but I'm kind of, I don't know how everybody else feels that they're talking about when talking about furlough and stuff. You kind of think, right, I've got all this time to do so much stuff. And yet, I'm in holiday mode almost. So you're a bit like, I could do that, but I've got plenty of time. There's nothing, it's not going to change tomorrow. I've got plenty to get on with.
Oh, so you've been on airport time. You've been like doing what everyone else has been doing during airport time, like just been doing a bit of day drinking. Just getting up whenever you like, not too stressed. Okay, that makes sense. It's hard, right? Some of the days I don't know how everyone else has felt. Some days I've been trying so hard to be productive on a project. And then, you know, when that same thing would happen before, but the world was normal and then you would hit that kind of like motivation bump, and you just be like, fuck. But you go outside, you'd sit at a coffee shop, you'd see some people, you'd think, right, time to clear the head and get back on the day. But there just sometimes doesn't seem to be a way to reset because there's nothing else to do. Like, I've got home.
Do you know what? Do you know how? Yeah.
Go on.
The thing I keep thinking of, and the easiest way I think to describe it is, there's no punctuation in our lives at the moment.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Big yeah? shout out to Sorry Again for subscribing. Thanks.
Oh, sorry again.
Yeah, sorry again.
Sorry
yeah.
again.
Yeah, you subscribed. It's... Yeah, sorry again.
Sorry again.
Go on. You were saying, because I want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah, so weekend is your punctuation for your working week, usually. I mean, obviously, different people have different jobs. Your weekend might fall at different points, but generally you have, like, the evening would be like a comma, and the weekend would maybe be a full stop for the next week's sentence. I'm probably going on a bit far here, but...
No, I don't think so. Carry on.
But yeah, so when you suddenly don't... Weekends don't, you know, they're all the same, and evenings... Doesn't matter if it's evening, it just gets a little darker outside, that's all. But yeah, I think keeping some sort of structure, so we still get up at normal time, a little bit later because we're not getting up to the gym, always have lunch at the same time, always have dinner at roughly the same time, and just try and really break up your day. Always make sure we get something done, like around the house, whether it's mow the lawn, whether it's just something basic. And then just settle down and try and get on with some hobby, whether it's K or AOS.
I think the difference, and big shout out to Lee Bromley in the chat, who has been working more than ever, he says, since the lockdown. And I think that's the vast difference. There's groups of us who are just working normally. And I feel like I fit into that pattern. I've been working normally, and I have been self-employed for a couple of years now. And then I worked at Games Workshop. Then before that, I was self-employed for 10 years. So I've had various dips and troughs of like level of motivation, but I generally have a pretty solid work ethic. I like to work hard and achieve. But even then, some days you've just got to kick you. Like, I've gone into the office and, like, you know, someone's like, how have you done today? It's like, well, I've been at the office for 8 hours. I've done like 2.5 minutes of work, but I was there for 8 hours. Like, it took all that time to get that 2.5 minutes of work done, but I got it done. And being self-employed is a bit like that sometimes, because you're working, whereas now other people are at home and they're kind of living that life. And I wonder how genuinely motivated they are. You know, like, they reply to their email in the bed at like 9 o'clock, you know, get up, have a coffee at 10, actually at the computer by like 11:30. Now, obviously, it's time for lunch.
Yeah. As long as you're moving the mouse every few minutes, you're keeping your presence thing, so you're still online, not away.
Yes.
That's like, and then if you were doing, because I was furloughed from April 1st, like I said, but... was working from home and like enforced working from home for a few weeks before that. So it's like, yeah, and I'm probably revealing a bit much, but some days you can sit down and you can go head down and you go flat out, and it's like, yeah. And suddenly it's 5 o'clock and you're like, wow, okay, I got to turn off and I'm going to go and actually do some home stuff now. Yeah. And other days you just cannot find the motivation. And I think it's harder where you're not having to go to an office anymore.
Yes.
And you're not having to. So, like, I think you going to the studio, I think, is really good. That must, like, how do you find that compared to if you
incredible,
if you
incredible, and in fact, now I've me and a couple of the other guys have set up this thing called the 9 a.m. club. So one of the things, I haven't announced it yet, but what I've been doing over the past couple of weeks has been getting as many tabletop simulator games in as possible. And then the plan is to do actually live stream a tabletop simulator game between 9 and 12, do the 12 o'clock show. And then, so I've been trying to get to the studio. So I haven't actually put it out there in the world that that's the plan yet, because I wanted to see, can I get up at 8 o'clock, start playing by 9, get the game wrapped up by 12, and it'd be entertaining enough that people might watch. And I feel like me and Darren played a game this morning. We went from start to finish in an hour and a half, and we smashed it. And I think, you know, people being able to see people like Darren and Owen and Benjamin and all these great people play Warhammer, and then I'm there as well, would be a fun morning thing. So you like, but the 12 o'clock thing has been, I started it as a way to make everyone, like, give people who who needed a bit of structure, but also people who, most importantly, I was really concerned about people who felt quite alone, because the start of the COVID was quite scary. It's probably quite just annoying. It's quite annoying now. I mean, it's still scary, but like, you know, there's that sliding scale of like, okay, this is the situation. Maybe it's just annoying, but it was quite scary. And I wanted to give people a space to be like somewhat like talk about hobby and run away from all the scary. But for me now, turning up at 12 has been super, super important. Like, loved it. Like, so I don't have to work nights, no DJing, so I get up at 7. So yeah, it's been, I agree with you, the structure's been really important. But there's some people who are out there who are just like, fuck these guys. I've been working every day since it started. Like, you know, frontline workers, people who work in shops, they're frontline workers. Like all those people that make the world work. Yeah, I always
clap for those people. I know there's got to be some that, we clap. But we don't really go outside because there's nobody here. So nobody will hear it. But we put that out in the universe.
I wonder if you'll ever go outside and clap. There's just a farmer with it. And obviously he's got one of those shepherd's crooks. And he's just like...
Shut up!
Aye. I was going to see what everyone in the chat's saying about this as well. Born Again Manchild said that he's... does almost nothing when he's at home, and now he's having to work from home. He's like, it's just not working. Sorry Again says, I'm working from home, which means staring at my laptop for most of the day, failing to get my report done while feeling guilty for charging the customer for my time. I think that's fair. Victor Von Champ, we are having a watch party tomorrow for the 40k news. Me and Adam will talk about that in a minute. And then, yeah, Azraik, the feeling when you just said that one sentence email, you're just like, smashed it. That's it. It's lunch. We've done it, boys.
And you save stuff as well. And people who work from home will absolutely get this. You save some stuff. If you do like 4 things in the morning, you'll save. You can't just send all them off, because then they'll be like, yeah, but what did you do for the rest of the day? No. You send one thing at like 9 o'clock. So everyone's like, wow, he's already on it. He's smashing it. And then come 11:30, send out another thing. And then they're like, okay, cool. All right, wicked. And then after lunch, around about 2-ish, send another thing. And then about 4, 4:30, 5, send the final thing. You've done your entire work in the morning, but everyone reckons you've spent your entire day sat hard working at your desk. There you
go. Yep, done. that's the way. Sorry Again says, I think people have got complacent with COVID. I would agree with that as well. It's still really important. Wash your hands, stay indoors, wear a mask. If you don't believe any of those things are important, you're an idiot. Just going to put it right out there, just off the bat. So that American guy on YouTube again, fuck you. he just really pissed me off this morning. So I'm just like, come on, screw that guy. But Americans generally, I love you, most of you. More than the Welsh. Just going to say that. I'm going to put that in there.
Wow.
I'm working at the moment and doing more hours now as it's sitting in front of me to be done, says K-Dread. I think that's interesting. I have an hour meeting on Zoom yesterday and today, and done a 2-hour CPR course, and that's my lot for the week, says Herminister. So not bad. So some people are really like benefiting. So you've not felt the pressure to like get armies done. Did you have a big back catalog before, like a big pile of shame, or did you not really?
Yeah, I got a big pile of shame. I've also got I got this to get on with as well.
I haven't done a
single model from it yet. I built one, and now I'm a bit like, now Games Workshop are starting up their pre-orders, so they're going to be doing the Lumineth, and I'm like, oh, maybe I want them instead.
Oh, do you? Okay, well, let's talk hobby. So because you're a bi hobbyist. I think that's
I am bi indeed. Yeah. Yes.
And, you like you play 40k.
Initially, I was mainly bi curious, and then I kind of went balls deep in both.
Good. Which of do you have any particular leanings at the minute? Is there either of the two systems that interest you the most? Like, we know that Lumineth and the Giants are coming out, but of course there's the big 40k release apparently tomorrow, which we will be doing a watch party for. Which of those, like, are there either one, or are you equally comfortable with both, or like, what are you most excited about?
So I really like both. At the moment, I'm probably leaning more towards 40k, just because it's like I'm building up my White Scars army a bit more. But I always found, and I've said this to several people before, the more I play one, the more I want to play the other. So it's almost like this sliding scale literally play one loads and I kind of end up too far over there. And I'm like, nah, I want to go play AOS for a bit. And then I'll play AOS for it. And I'm like, oh, I really want to be playing 40K now, which is good. You know, they kind of balance each other out. They're so similar though. And I don't know if other people who play this play both, but the more you play one, the more you get to learn one. When you go and play the other one, the little finicky rules, I always forget which one attaches to which. So like, I was playing in a 40K tournament just before a lockdown, and I couldn't remember if base to base means in 40K means you can still pile in around the model or not. So little bits like that.
It's harder. I agree with you. It's harder knowing flipping between both systems when we're doing coverage or when we're talking about on the show. And also, actually, interestingly, we did a show on the 40K show recently where, I'm comfortable in saying I definitely have got more experience with Age of Sigmar than I do with 40K. I'd like to have more 40K experience, very much so. But I think I've had a good grounding in it, and I've covered some tournaments and I've played quite a few games, so I feel like I've got the system competently enough. That when we started doing the rundowns that we used to on the Mondays and the Thursdays, like they were set structure, but they don't really work for 40K, which is a really interesting thing. That once you get into 40K enough, it's so different from Age of Sigmar that you don't really like the high level. There's obviously the rules mechanics that are a little bit different. 3-inch range, like to stay out of 3-inch range as opposed to 1-inch, and the stratagems and all the other stuff. But actually, when you start breaking the game down even more, it feels instinctively so different. Like when you the mechanics work so wildly different. Like the minutiae, yeah. Right, really creates like so much so that as much as the rules are very similar, there's a whole ecology of ways to think about it, which we did a show when we talked about the ways you wouldn't do this in Age of Sigmar. We did a 40K show, I don't know if you watched it, where me, Nick and Tom, we discussed describing units that you would put into a 40K list as roles. So a unit that's there to do damage, or a unit that's there to do blocking, or a support role, those sorts of things. Whereas in Age of Sigmar, that's kind of true. That's kind of true, but it's built differently. And I tried to take the same system and apply it to Age of Sigmar, and it didn't work. And I don't know if you know much about unified field theory, but it feels like that. It's a bit like, okay, so here you've got strong and weak magnetic forces. Over here you've got looking at stars and planets, so astronomy, and they don't work together. Does that make sense? Have you read that? It's a brief history of time.
You went too far. I know what you mean, but yeah, you didn't need to add those little bit on at the end. But yeah, I completely get it, because do you think there's less buff pieces in Age of Sigmar then? Like, in terms of, are there less synergies, do you think?
No, 40K is so Tom would describe it as a win condition. So 40K has got more like pivotal pieces, and also the army list building is a lot freer in 40K. Like, it's a lot more free. So therefore you don't have, it's more pick and choose the things that are good, even though it's not like, other than you have to have X, you have to have Y. And obviously there's a bit of, you have to have X, like for CP, like troops, for instance, but not quite the same, because you can just take yourself a loyal 32 you find a way to get yourself your cheap CP. I don't really, maybe I just think about it too much and talk about it too much, that there needs to be that differential. To other people, they must be like, whatever, dickhead, I'm just going to take these Space Marines, and then I'll play this other game, I'll take this Stormcast. It's completely different, and like, cool. But there is a big difference. Which of the, Age of Sigmar stuff and then 40K stuff at the minute are you most interested in?
In terms of armies or systems?
Armies.
I'm super keen on the elves, and I didn't think I would be. I've never been much of an elf man. It's never done it for me. It's never got my rocks off. But looking at all the new stuff, and especially the the mountain cowl thing that triggers so many people.
I like it. Great. It's grown on me.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Love it.
I mean, it looks like prison body, all big on top, no legs. Yeah, big on big on top. Never seen leg day in its life, but I can't wait to kill it.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if it falls over and does like a giant thing. So if you kill it, it falls over and does more wounds. That would be cool. I'd like to see that.
I think that probably, I don't know if that'll be the case. I imagine it's going to be really tough to kill. Like, I hope so. Are you interested? So you're interested
it's a
in picking
up mountain.
It's a mountain goat. So you're interested in picking up the Lumineth? I wonder if anyone else in the chat's interested. No?
Yeah, I know. Oh, James from James Powell Merchgrot. He's keen, isn't he? And yeah, I know he's talking about. I think there's a couple of people in the in Scribes that are interested. They sound like they're going to be quite good as well. I don't know.
Yes.
Like you'll obviously be a bit more finger on the pulse than me. What do you think in terms of meta wise?
So we don't know points yet, but we've already seen like a battle report, and they've got some mechanics. There's always a conversation to be had about mechanics being really strong, irregardless of points, and then mechanics being useless, irregardless of points. Like for instance, the skink retreat ability that they used to have, where you could activate and run away. That's just a really strong ability, regardless of who it was on. It was particularly good because it was on 10 models. But yeah, the techless ability to cast 4 spells on a 10 plus. Fuck with your stuff, and some of the spells that we've seen available seem really good, but we don't know if and they seem fairly survivable from what we've seen, but we don't know if they could do loads of damage. We don't know what the points are. They might not have like a hammer unit. Thank you, Lee Bromley, for subscribing. It's kind of interesting. It's a bit like the OCR Bone Reapers. If you look at the Bone Reapers, they're very, very survivable, and those Mortec Guard, when they get into a fight, can do some genuine damage, as can everything else, but they need the hero to be nearby, and really, their survivability is what adds to their output, whereas they don't have, like, a unit. They don't have that Blender unit. They don't have the Ghoul King on Terrorgeist, although probably the Ghoul King on Terrorgeist loses that fight, so maybe I'm wrong. But they've got good output, but they've not got, like, like the thing. They've not got 9 eels worth of output. They've not got 9 Varan Guard worth of output. They haven't got. Does that make sense? They don't have like this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So maybe the elves will be more defensive, which makes sense because they're mountain elves. Are they even high elves now? Are we just calling them the mountain elves?
The Lumineth Realm Lords. That's what we should be calling them.
Yeah, they're only the lords of one realm. I think.
Mountain, the stone, yeah. I just hope.
Go on.
Go on.
No, you go. So, Age of Sigmar over on Twitter, big shout out to John Green, says that he plays with whatever, he has always played with whatever the next release is. So he's always played as Lumineth Realm Lords, which I think is good. Well done, John. Proud of you. Clap for John, everyone. I'm not interested in the elves. I'm one of those people who's not interested in playing them.
Do you like the look of the models, though? Do you like them? Do you think
I like the look of the spearmen, the horsemen, and the archers. I'm into that. I think that's a great.
The hammer guys, not so much.
Not so much the hammer guys, no. But I've always avoided elves because there's too much detail to paint. Nuh-uh, not for me. Always too much, and they look particularly pretty, and I can't think I will do a good job on them. So no, not interested. I'm really not. They're not for me. But what about 40K? You said you've been painting up some white scars. What's inspired you to paint white scars?
The way they play, actually. I was so and with the advent of contrast paints. I know they've been out a little while now, but I was like the way they play is. You move them up the board, you can then advance them up the board, and you can still charge. So you can get quite early combat going. And every time I played 40K, and you'll know because I played you once or twice, even with the shooting army, I always wanted to be advancing and charging, always. And it's like I kept doing it again and again and again and just getting my poo push back in. And I was like, well, I need an army that I can do that with and that's what you're meant to do. And then White Skies appeared, and I was like, oh, could just paint them not as white and just say they're white scars. And I gave them a go, and I love it. I love painting the white armor. I love painting the little, like the last, literally yesterday, I started painting the markings, you know, like the shark tooth markings and stuff on them.
Is it the aesthetics or the rules or both? Like more the rules that drew you, and then you start. Oh, both. Okay, I think it's a really good argument that combat is more interactive as an experience on the tabletop. Like you feel like you're like both of you are engaging, especially that back and forth. I wouldn't mind seeing. I don't know if this is a fair point. Let's say there was another game system that lacked almost any shooting. I don't think that would be. I think combat's really fun. Anyway, watching someone just shoot all your stuff off is not engaging at all.
So I played TTS against my brother, and we played a few games where I bring white scars and I tried different lists and stuff. And we've never played his Imperial Fists versus my white scars. And he basically deleted all my toys before I got anything near him. And I was like, well, this is shit. This is rubbish. It's the worst game. This army's crap.
I think it's a fair point. Who, like, it's an odd piece of game design. Like, obviously useful for tournament settings, but I think people have always generally said that combat is more engaging. So if you are at home thinking, how can I make more engaging game for my friends or opponents, then combat would be the way. Shooting is super engaging. That's why everyone absolutely loves playing against Tau, Cisco, or Cabbage. See, the problem is I haven't read that that's the case. I've heard that generally people don't like it. Have you? I don't know if that's the case. Combat, I think, in 40K also really differentiates player skill in terms of using piling, consolidates, and tri-pointed models. Boring Manchild, I would agree with that. There's also been some really good points, like really good articles recently. Goonhammer did an article on the Warhammer community about tri-pointing, which if you're in the competitive scene, it was already like a fairly standardized way of like playing Warhammer and understanding how to lock a unit in. Whereas, like, now, and I don't mean to be rude, there's a bunch of, like, full knuckle-dragging chuckle fucks, who are like, have you seen what you can do in the combat phase? It's like, yes. Like, it's so strong. Like, it's not that strong. It's fine. It's like, oh, combat needs to be nerfed. No, you're jumping in head first there. That's not what... But I think the general community has skilled up a little bit in 40K when it comes to combat, which is good. But I don't think that still really changes the shape of how good the shooting is most of the time, because it's very, very...
Yeah, it's, you're right. It's a lot less interactive, I think. I think if you just... Right, whoever goes first, whoever gets those first shots in, they're basically going to win the game, and the other person's just going to have a real hard time of it and not enjoy it as much. So it's just like... And when you go combat-wise, and if you've got two combat armies, then that's so awesome. That's when you really get into what I find is the more enjoyable part of 40K and AOS, actually.
Good. Ben Hughes, Ben Hughes over on YouTube, I think that might be your brother, says it wasn't fun when dice reduces smiles. There has to be some sort of like... poem that we can come up with, or a CAD tagline. Don't reduce a smile.
That's lovely, ladies and gentlemen. That's lovely. When dice reduces smiles. That's, well done, Ben.
Well done, Ben.
Proud of you, brother.
You're such a legend. So tomorrow, again, I've just been talking about it. What do you think tomorrow is going to be? Excited about? How have you rated the Games Workshop reveal days? So first off, a review from you, because I know you won't hold back. How do you think they've done?
Overhyped. That's got to be the simplest thing. Just overhyped.
Don't let John distract you in the chat. That's what he's trying to do.
It's massively overhyped. It is. They spend so long and they say this is the biggest reveals we've ever seen, and this is the most things you'll ever see. Everybody's got something really cool they're going to be interested in. What they mean is we're releasing some stuff for each system. If you're into what we're showing you, you're going to love it. And to be fair, models-wise, they're smashing it, I think. And the releases they're bringing out are great. But when the community team is sat there saying, this is incredible, and then it comes out and it's like, yeah, it's cool, it's great. And if you're, you know, if you've been waiting for elves and you see more elves, you're just going to get even more hyped. And if you're a Necron player right now, Chris Frozen, you know, those, and Nikos, they're going to be super stoked, super excited to see what comes out tomorrow, because I think that's going to be the bulk of what we see. Because everyone keeps talking about we're going to see Knights. And that's the strong rumor, right? Because we've been expecting that for a while.
A while, yes.
I'd love to see it. And even if it's just basically an amalgamation of all the beta rules, maybe even a whole wave of new indexes to pull all of those rules into a really easy accessible place. I'm game for that. I'm always game for more Primaris Space Marines. I'm really hoping for some.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see. We're definitely going to see the bikes. I think bikes in Necrons are definitely. It's whether or not it's the bikes in the Necrons are the starter box for the next edition. I think that's the real question.
Necrons carry half a box set?
Oh yeah, like so. The Return of the Silent King is actually a large element of narrative. It's a like the way that they've explored obviously the Imperium and the Heresy and Chaos before has been, you know, they've it's not they've done it to death, but they kind of have. Whereas they have all these other races and all this other IP which they can really lean on to create some incredible stuff. And if you look at what's happened with Age of Sigmar over the past few years, like, they have to look at the success they've done by creating the Caradhran Overlords, creating the Lumineth, creating all this other stuff, and be like, well, why just add a couple of units to each of these ranges? Why not just, like, move the story on? Recreate these ranges. Don't just have it, like, because if we think about what they've done with setting, where they've said that, like, up until the last edition, they were like, the whole game is a minute to midnight. Each new edition, each new bit of, like, takes it closer to midnight. But they've now said, we're past midnight. We've gone past it. It's happened. Half the Imperium's been destroyed by Chaos. So now they're like, cool, we're going to move it on. And I think they're going to have the Silent King come, do, like, a Nagash storyline. And then I think eventually in a couple of years, we'll see maybe an Orc uprising. Or we'll see, like, you know, any of that sort of stuff. Tau, like, start to, like, push it, like, do a huge new expansion. And then you get... like, you don't have to focus so much on the Imperium all the time. And then you could create new storylines and new reasons for war. Like, that's all they need to do is create new reasons for war, right? Like,
but they could never have a starter box without Space Marines, right?
I don't know. I think they could, but but probably not. You're right. It'll probably be the Primaris stuff versus Necrons. But you're right. They probably can't. Because I don't know why they can't. Like, I think in a scene like you could comfortably have... It depends whether everything is always viewed from the Imperium or Sigma. Like, that's the real question. Like, and whether or not they could be brave enough to just say... I don't know, if you were going to do a starter box for 40k, Twitch chat, Chuckabuddy, like, right now, ignoring that we're going to get Necrons and Marines tomorrow, what would you do in the future?
The thing is, I'm a Space Marines player, so I had this thing, and I was explaining to Ben, who we've already mentioned earlier. I was saying, what if, right, Necrons is, so with Pariah, with this Psychic Awakening, the Necrons thing is all around that, and you're going to get the Silent King, and you're maybe going to get another, a new updated Pariah models, maybe. But that's nothing to do with Ninth. What if Ninth is something like a almost Heresy part 2 or version 2. Hear me out.
Yeah,
Dark Angels basically get framed for something big, something huge that happens, and Dark Angels get the blame. So the starter box is Ultramarines versus Dark Angels. That serves, in terms of business sense, that kind of makes sense because you can have so many Primaris all in one massive box. So somebody walks into the store and you're like, you want to get into 40k, best place, start with Space Marines, buy this box, you've got most of an army in one go. And you'll have a couple of characters that'll be specific Ultramarines and Dark Angels. And it'll actually be not that impactful on the story because they want it to last 3 years, right? So it would just be, oh, this thing happened. We thought it was them. We fought it out. We're all buds now, ish. Meanwhile, we've got these other campaigns that are going on.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah. I think... I don't know. I think that the Heresy format has been my favorite format so far. In updating a game and releasing a game, it's, you get a new book and everyone's got something in it, or they could start with a new army. And it kind of adds the setting and the background. I think that that's an exciting way of doing it. I think that they have to have something that they... I think also they want to lumber you with a Marine army. Like, they just want to. Like, you've got 50 you've got 50 quid's worth of Marines. You think, well, I might as well build a Marine army as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's their element. Yeah, they're just like, let's just lump them with that. So I agree with everyone in the chat who's saying that they'll never do non-Imperium. But I wouldn't know what they could possibly replace it with. I mean, you can do... There are other Imperium factions that aren't Marines. You can do Humans. You could do Guard. You know, and you could do Mechanicum. Like, those are a thing. I have not switched off Warhammer AOS. I can see. I was listening. That's what I was doing. he's on it today. He's had a coffee, I could tell. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's bored. Do you think he misses us out this morning?
I think he misses us. I think that's what he's doing. I was sort of doing 40k as a wee lad, says Azrak. During third edition, there was a single mention of the Unaid in Craftlord's Codex. I was super hyped when I caught up with 40k lore some years ago and found out the Unaid is now a thing. I think that's the other thing that they do quite well, is they create the narrative, then eventually like expand into it. You can have a starter box with other humans, but Games Workshop is self-fulfilling prophecy of always hyper Marines in starter boxes and making them the most popular arm because of it. Well, that's not actually true. Yes, they're probably the most popular sales-wise all the time, but at competitive tournaments until recently, they weren't actually that popular. Obviously, until they got the new books, and then it was like everyone in the world was like, finally, my time has come. I have my Marine army. It's like, no, we all have a Marine army. It's there. It was the worst.
Yeah.
oh, miss you too, John. However, doing Dark Angels versus Ultramarines might make it hard for people to see the difference, therefore making it harder for Games Workshop to market. I think that's fair as well. I don't know. I feel like you Possibly. Could do. I feel like you could do starter boxes that don't have Imperium, but I like your idea too. I think there's merit there.
It just harkens to the was it Prospero, I think it was, where it was basically, I know that's around the Heresy and that's exactly what it was for. You have Marines versus Marines, but you could paint both halves as one army, right?
You can do both halves as an army, yeah, absolutely. They're two different armies, but again, you have to kind of be in on the story to understand that. And the reason that sold so well, because it was incredible for like Heresy players to like pick up units like that, which were like 20% the price of what it would normally cost to put those units on the battlefield. It was like, it was a dumb saving. It was so incredible. Gorkum Walker makes it. That's a good one. Imperium Guard versus Gene Sealer Cult Starter Box would be a great starter box, especially that toughness 3 environment, because there aren't many everything's like Marine is the standard, so if you're toughness 3, you're actually like a weakling. Yeah, you're barely in it.
Yeah,
I'd also like to see, this is just a side note, I'd like to see an entire Grot revolutionary army, no orcs. Like, they just, do you know what I mean? They just splinter off and it's just Grots. Yeah,
but no, who would be the other half to the Grots then?
Squats. No other half, just Grots and Squigs, Gloomspite Gits in space, Trogoths.
What about side? What about Grots versus Squats? Grots v Squats, done. That's a marketer's dream.
Yeah, They just write that on the whiteboard. Grots v Squats, and it's like, tell us more. Like, it says it there.
Go.
Like, I'll say that, and everyone will be in. That's.
Yeah, do you need any more info? Right, guys, it's Grots v Squats. Sold. Take my money. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm in.
Can't go traitor when you're already a traitor. I agree with that. Grots versus Squats, life is short. Oh my god, that would be so good. Yeah. In the grim dark far future of the 41st millennium, life is short. Grots versus Squats. Let's pitch it. Let's pitch it right now. We're the new marketing department.
Well, they're doing all those TV shows, aren't they? Which is like anthologies. There's one. Grots v. Squats.
Yeah, I'm not sure about them TV shows if I'm 100% on Chuckles. Honestly, like, just give it to some professionals to make. Don't do it in-house. Don't be like, okay, let's try and make some... We really should start to, like, animate our TV shows. Obviously, we don't know any directors and no one in-house is a director. And video, making video is easy. You just film some stuff. So, and we've got people who've written books, so we can write a script. So, yeah, let's do that ourselves, not... That's how you end up with films like Rogue One. That's what I'm going to say. It's not.
I quite liked it.
Well, whatever. Right. Even if you liked it, even if you hated it, whatever. It's still a multi... Like, okay, Fantastic Four. Can we all agree that was shit? Okay.
Yeah, all right. I'll let you have that one.
But there was still a multi-million pound production behind it. This is a group of fellas and their mates who are like, reckon we can make some quality TV. Not really 100% sold on that. That's going to be any good. Just putting it out there.
I think the anthology ones could be good because I think for every good one, there'll probably be a couple of crap ones. That Blood Angels thing, though, the black and white, and you only get a bit of red.
Awful.
It looks so like that's the 12-year-old me suddenly gets the power to create my own TV show. And I'm like, yeah, I want it to be like this. That's what it smacks of. And it's like, stop it. Exactly like you say, though. Give it to some professionals. Give it to people who know how to make stuff and let them go. Give them some freedom. Say it's not in the universe. It's based on our universe, but it's not canon to ours. And then they can just have fun. Job done.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, like you could do some real fun stuff. Like, they've obviously got the Warhammer Crime setting that they've announced coming out. That would be super rad. Imagine like a grizzled old, obviously played, and this is super important that it's played by National Treasure. He's going to play the Tiger King. Oh my God, what's his name?
Bob Hoskins. No.
No, he's got an Oscar. He's in Face Off. He won an Oscar.
Oh, Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Obviously, I want Nicolas Cage. Have you seen Nicolas Cage in the film Bad Lieutenant? I just want that, him in the 40K setting trying to solve crime. And I want him to be like, every time he opens it, goes, looks like damn demons again. it's always demons. It's kind of like a gritty comedy. Yeah, he's like, oh, looks like damn demons again. That'd be fun.
No, mate, it was just Larry from the bar. He could be really good.
What, House in 40K?
Yeah. But with a British accent. It's got to be, he's got to have the British accent, not the American one. Or are you thinking as a show? Or do you mean the actor?
I'm talking about almost the show as well. Like, constantly, like, what's wrong with this Marine? It's like, he's only ahead now. What do you think it is, you damn idiot?
Well, this one's obvious. He has no feet. Next.
Anyway, well, it's going to be really exciting. I think one of the other things that I saw in the chat, which I thought was a really cool little thing, was the idea that maybe we'll see all the books become digital. Obviously, they're already available in different formats, but a paid subscription service to a digital format. So you pay like £10 a month and you have all rules available for free is the most obvious win you could ever.
I would pay that.
Of course you would. And then if it was £10 for Age of Sigmar as well, also pay that. You could be getting £20 a month off pretty much every Warhammer player in the world. As opposed to, so if you don't like a new book, do you pick up every battle tome? Every codex? Don't imagine you do. But they could get, instead of getting 30 quid out of you every 4 months, they could get 10 quid out of you every single month.
Yeah, I'd definitely do it because then I would read it, and it obviously you'd want it to be that way because you have to get every book anyway.
I already go through. I mean, I love it. I already go through that process anyway. Two of the ones that really piss me off is the Psychic Awakening books, because I've tried to read a couple of the narratives from them, and they are truly shit. Whereas the opposite is true for the Age of Sigmar campaign books. So Wrath of the Everchosen was fine. Like, if I was 14, I'd have been like, wow, an Attack on, oh my God. But like, as a grown man, I'm like, yeah, you could do better.
What is happening in Psychic Awakening then? So just like very brief,
nothing.
What's actually happening?
Nothing. Okay, like, fine. it's just each one is just like, this army is even more angry against this army. Here are some instances of battles that they've had. You're like, cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no underlying narrative. There's no gradual. They've been mentioning this thing each book, and then now it's coming to a head.
But there is something that's driving all of these new interactions, effectively. Like, there's some like primordial force, which we assume to be the release of the Silent King. Okay. And if you followed the Sigmar storyline, I reckon it's going to be identical. Like the Necroquake. The Necron Quake. Yeah, all of the two worlds rise. Anyway, it's been lovely talking to you, Adam. It's been lovely talking to you.
But me too, man.
We're
you
done
too.
For the day. But we're going to be online tomorrow, don't forget, for the watch party for 4 to 7 hours, or however long it's going to take. I think it's on like 2 p.m. UK time. But we're going to go live, obviously, midday for the stream streak at 12. So it's going to be a big old party. I'm looking forward to it. I've also loved talking to you, Adam. It's really nice catching up with you. One of the things I like most about you is you are always smiling. You're always having a laugh. And you always bring energy and love to a room that you're in. And I miss that. And I miss you. So it's I can't wait for us to hang out again at some point. And also for you to roast a couple of people once I tell you the secrets. And you roast them.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see people being silly again, and then thinking nobody's watching, and then they get called out, and then they don't like it.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, it's been a pleasure. I've loved it, and it's been good fun. And it's thank you for having me on. Thank you for being here.
You're an angel, Azra. Yeah. So everyone who's been procrastinating watching the stream streak, you've actually got to go back to maybe trying to do that work. Good luck. But tomorrow, don't worry, it's all day. So you've got ages of chilling out and hanging. But it's been lovely. Thanks, Adam. Anyone want to shout out? Anyone you want to give a shout out to? Big ups before we leave.
Big brother. Thank you for watching. And we're playing after the announcements and stuff tomorrow. So we're going to have a good old chinwag about all the stuff, as well as John Green, because he's been trying to put us off. And I think we've done well. And also everybody in Scribes of War. So everybody there. I can't wait to see all your beautiful faces as soon as we can.
Yeah. Is it true that you think that the Scribes of War are the best gaming club in England?
Absolutely. And we proved it at a WS10 event recently. We came top two.
Wait, you were in first and second place, or you just came second and therefore in top two?
No. We took two teams. So there was James Powell. So he was in one with Miles and a couple of the other lads. And I was in another one with Alex Bruce and Tuggy and JJ. We came second to the other team, but we were miles ahead of the WS10 teams.
Really?
But we were maybe taking it more seriously than the rest of them.
Well, someone's asked where we can find you. If someone wants to get in touch or hang out.
Here, when there's tournaments. Otherwise, you can find me on Instagram as The Adam Hughes.
Because
I'm that narcissistic, I am the one you want to look at.
Well, I mean, it's going to be... I feel so sorry for the kids in the future. They're like, I want to make a Facebook account. It's like, all the names are taken. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are Adam Hughes 43271. Just a number at that stage in the future.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who's joined us live. Don't forget to join us tomorrow. It's going to be a great day. Big stream party. I've loved it. Do the watch party. Thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast. Thank you to Silver Knight for donating some money to the show. You're an angel. Thank you to everyone else on Patreon. And have a wonderful day. Henry Steele, Warhammer AOS, Silver Knight, DJ Batman, K-Dred, Ben Hughes, Azranak. I've got that wrong. Anyway, bye. Goodbye. Tomorrow, bye.